Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this gorgeous Thursday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donnick, and Chase McCabe with you. Okay, picking up on the discussion that we just had about Taylor One, I'm glad you brought up A.J. Brown because that's exactly where I was going. By the way, Michael Pruitt, Titans tight end, in about 10 minutes we will talk with him. Played a really inspired game in Seattle on Sunday. A.J. Brown is really starting to let his personality come out through social media, is he not? Because we were all sitting here, yeah, go, A.J. Way to recruit Julio Jones. And he did. And it worked. And he got praised for it, rightfully so. Go for it, A.J. Brown. Go after the media member. It's okay. And, heck, I'm one sitting here going, it is okay. Because that certain media member has a history, a long history of doing that with players and coaches, and players and coaches on the Titans going after them. And so they don't get the benefit of the doubt. So he has every right to say that when everybody's like, you shouldn't worry about him. No, he's got every right to speak if he wants to. So put me front and center as, yeah, good. Good for you, AJ. You can do that. You don't have to just take whatever they say. But if this continues, and this is what he's going to be moving forward, does he risk the same thing happening to him the minute he gets off to a slow start like he has this year, right, through the first 2 weeks, or anything else where now the tide starts changing where it's not a love affair, which is what it's been the first two seasons, and if he continues to be vocal on social media, if he continues to render his opinion on certain things, do you think he risks going down the same? Because remember, Taylor Wan's in, what, year eight? I mean, he's been in the league. I mean, it's not like this is your – so he's been around a while. So does he risk the same thing happening if everything isn't always good or he's getting banged up and nicked here and nicked there and he's missing 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there? Do you think the same thing could happen to him?
I think to an extent, because you're always going to have – you have to separate people into groups is kind of how you have to look at this. Because you're going to have the group of people that whenever the player says something they don't agree with, they're going to blast them, and that's just how they are. You're going to have a group of people that are like, hey, you know what? I love personality. You know, you do you. You know, I support you no matter what. And then you're going to have the, hey, you know, don't get into that. You know, go play football. Like, you know, there's different ways to look at it. I think with AJ, I think there are times where I'm all for it. I'm all for him, you know, standing up for a teammate or standing up for himself. And I think it's just finding that balance, because sometimes I think that he looks for it. And that's where you got to be careful as a player. Like, don't go searching for what people are saying about you, because it's just not going to be productive, in my opinion. If somebody is saying that, you know, they don't like you and all that, then, you know, it's just, I don't, for me, that doesn't help me. Now, maybe for him, maybe it does. Maybe it's motivation and that's what he wants. But where you also have to be careful is if you do that and you address everything, then don't give them fuel. And he dropped a lot of balls last week. That gives people fuel. That gives people fuel to say, hey, maybe don't focus on that stuff that you can't control and, you know, hit the jugs machine. Those two things don't have anything to do with each other, but people are going to use that as fuel. So it's just, what can you tolerate and knowing what the balance is. But I also think that AJ Taylor can play off sometimes of the wrestling, the bad guy role, the heel role. I mean, he can kind of do that to an extent. AJ doesn't. I think everybody just loves AJ. So I think they're going to get different reactions. Now, if, you know, AJ falls off a cliff and is just awful, then who knows? It could change. But
I think you laid it out there really well. I just think it depends. I never have any problem with people that want to put themselves out there, entertain. At the end of the day, this is what it's all about. It is entertainment. But going with that, there is an underside that you have to be able to mentally deal with if you're going to do it. You got to know that it's going to come back your way, some negative stuff, and you have to be able to park that.
Right.
And you can't live your life on social media. That does that does look like there are people I think we all know in different walks of life that get way too sensitive of what's happening on social media. It's like, wait a minute, that's not all of real life. It's a sliver. But your real life is your real life. I mean, you're not living with the banter that's going on social media. That's a separate thing. So as long as you can separate that, then you're fine. And I have no doubt that A.J. Brown and Taylor Lewan, when they come to work, they're giving it all they got.
No doubt.
And so
no doubt.
That's all I worry about, really.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I'd also like to report that I made a huge error. I dotted my gray sweatshirt with the orange Sharpie in preparation for underdog picks.
No good.
You put the Sharpie on the sweatshirt, that's just bad.
It's no good.
I'm not sure that comes out.
It's gonna take some work. It's an issue. It's an issue.
It's gonna take some work. I'll say I agree with you. Taylor Lewan, AJ Brown, they come to work. But I'll always remember we had Jeff Fisher in here years ago. I think this was with the morning show with D Mace. But you know, he said that it was amazing to him to look at how different the players are and how you have to change your coaching style, because when he was with the Titans, cell phones weren't allowed in meetings. He told the story of throwing one up against the wall and breaking it because it went off in a meeting. And he said, now you can't do that. You actually have to build in cell phone breaks now for the players, because they have to have that. They have to go either, you know, call somebody or text somebody or check Twitter or whatever. And I remember him being like, I don't really understand it, but it's what I have to do, because the player has evolved. Their needs have evolved over time. So, you know, I think that there's a place for it. AJ is very active on social media. And I appreciate that he's showing who he is and his personality. My only advice is learning what to acknowledge and what not to acknowledge, because there's a lot of minutiae out there.
Well, I think that's where the going on social media to give your statement after the game probably is a little bit leaning too much towards I'm living my life on the social media platform.
Sure.
Where, you know, at the end of the day, did that do him any good? I think we would all agree, no, it didn't do him any good.
Right.
Now, we can debate whether that really hurts him in the long run or not, but I don't think it helped him. It's a wash at best.
No, it definitely didn't help.
Yeah. I heard your tirade about it, Darren, so I know how you feel.
He didn't get an attaboy for it.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. So you got to be able to just have the savvy if you're going to put yourself out there like that, and don't fall into the traps that are easy to fall into.
Sure.
I mean,
sometimes it's very simplified if you just don't go out there, which is why a lot of players just say,
right,
I'm off of it. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to play. I'll talk to the media when I'm supposed to talk to them, and I'm not going to do the social media thing. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to listen to shows. If you can do that, that's pretty disciplined, and that's keeping it simple. And then you have to deal with any of this stuff.
Right, but then you also are not a fan favorite or a media
favorite.
That's
the other side.
And you don't get all the attention, and people don't talk about you.
I mean,
think about how much we talked, or should I say didn't talk about Michael Roos. Michael Roos was fantastic here. How much did we discuss Michael Roos?
Not a lot.
Hardly ever.
Well, we talked about him being a really good player.
Yeah, I mean,
discussion.
But you don't see a lot of Roos jerseys.
Michael Roos, like, we really made an effort to get on him. Hey, another bang-up game for Michael Roos. Boy, attaboy. That was a good one.
But see that.
All right. Nobody. You didn't bring it up because, you know what? He wasn't seeking any attention. He didn't want any attention. He just went about his business. He didn't really care. He wasn't a mean guy. It's not like he would look at you like, I don't want to talk. But he had no – like, if no one ever came around to talk, he would be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
And pretty much any offensive lineman can do that.
Taylor is different from most offensive linemen. He is.
He is.
And that's okay. He's him. That's who he is. I mean, he is true to himself, but – most offensive linemen are, you know, we're talking to them about, okay, so are you wearing sleeves during August or so you can wear them in December? Or, like you know, they're stuck in their ways, and Taylor's, you know, out there doing a podcast and wants to be more vocal, and that's fine. But he's different from most offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I do wonder – what'll happen with Adrian. Because I don't have, I'm with you, Chase. I don't have an issue with it. I don't. I had an issue with what Taylor Lewan did after the game, and I think, you know, if indeed they did not offer him up, they should. Like, that's like, the Titans have to take some responsibility for that too, because everybody knows he is a talker. Everybody knows what took place. Like, you can't protect a talker, someone who is very, very active. Like, you can't do that, because what you do is you open yourself up to exactly what happened. For people like me to be like, really? Like, you took those comments to Twitter? Like, come on. Yeah, you know, we can't do that. All right, I think we've got Titans tight end Michael Pruitt. He is indeed on the line with us, so let's bring him up. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm doing pretty good.
You played quite the inspired game on Sunday. You know, I guess it doesn't take much right after you lose at home to Arizona in the fashion that you guys did, and then you're going out on the road to a hostile environment. But you especially, and we talked about it a lot on Monday, you had a little extra oomph to you, and it was much appreciated. So where did that come from? Was it organically throughout the course of the game, or kind of just give us how, you know, the way you were going? I mean, you were clearly getting to that Seattle defense.
Yeah, I think it was just organically. Usually every game I play with a lot of fire, man, and depending on how the course of the game's going, it may escalate a little more than others. And you know, those guys, they made it an intense game, and we had to have a spark at that moment. And you know, it's just all part of the game. It's all fun and games, so.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to paint the picture that you don't play inspired and that's not how you are. But, yeah, it seemed like there was a little extra. So with that being said, you know, we've talked a lot this week about the taunting calls, and there was a taunting call in your game. There's been a lot in the league the first couple of weeks. That delicate balance of, you understand, you know, like, there's a lot of chirping. There's a lot of stuff going on between players, a lot of talk, you know, throughout the course of the game. And what it takes to play at the high level that you need, and it's a nasty, brutal sport. It's rough, and so there's a lot that goes in to play to get through a 60-minute game, or in that case, more than 60 minutes. But that balance is a fine line, right? Of not taking it too far. How difficult is it as a player not to take it too far?
It can get tough at times, but you just got to be smart, man. You gotta be a little savvy as well, know what the refs are looking for and stuff like that, and just be able to do it within the confines of the play. And really, it's the after the play stuff and the getting in people's face and all that type of stuff that they're really gonna look for. And it's just a fine line that you walk in, and if you do it correctly, you can affect the game.
Just don't do dumb bleep, right? Like your coach said.
Yeah, very well.
After week one.
Yep.
So what did it mean to you to come back here? So let me actually, before I ask that, well, take us through the steps in San Francisco. Were you surprised that you were released by the 49ers or no?
Well, when I got there, I kind of was dealing with a little injury on the first day of camp, and it just kind of took me a while to get back, and once I came back, I was kind of like out of the loop. So I wasn't necessarily caught off guard by it, and after it happened, you know, J-Rob got on the line with my agent and everything, and they said they were wanting me back over here. And you know, obviously I've been here for the last 3 years, so it's the same offense and the same guys I'm familiar with, and it's a good fit, man. So I decided to come on back and contribute.
Yeah, I was going to, that's where I was going with it. Was it refreshing to know, okay, it didn't work out there, and then you just stated why, but to have a familiar face, right, a familiar place as an option, that had to have felt good?
Definitely, definitely. You know, this situation has been good for me, and I feel like we built a lot of momentum over the last three years, so I just wanted to further that and continue that into this year.
What is it like as a player? It's one thing for us to appreciate, to sit back from afar and admire what he does. But as a player, when you see 22, when he gets going, and you've seen 22 get going a lot since you've been here, especially on the road. We've been talking about that a lot. His road games are off the charts. What is that like to see as a player whenever he just starts trucking people and just it just feels like every time he touches the ball, something big is about to happen?
It's a great feeling just knowing you got a guy back there that can take over the game at any moment. It makes you want to do your job even better because you know if you do your job right, he's going to take advantage of whatever little opening you give him. Sometimes you don't even realize it in the course of the game until you see after the game, oh, he had this many yards and did this much, and it's just a comfortable feeling just having that guy back there, and we just want to keep that momentum going.
Now that you've been in the league for a while, you understand the ebbs and flows of an NFL season. It's long, and it can be a roller coaster ride at times. You got to learn not to get too high and not to get too low. If so, then you wouldn't have been able to go out to Seattle and win, right? Because you guys were really low after a bad home performance, and then you go out there against a really good team, and you get a big win. Now you're back on the high train, right? But now you've got an Indianapolis team that everybody's saying, oh, the Titans should beat. Oh, it's a division foe. Who knows if their quarterback is playing. But I suspect you guys are doing a lot of talking of, okay, you know, you're on that high place. You got to be careful in this league. You can't take anybody for granted. You know how this works. If you're not ready to play, you can lose on any Sunday. I know it's a cliche, but it is true.
Very true. I mean, especially when you're going against a division opponent. We've played these guys extremely tough the last few years, and we've always gone back and forth with these guys, and we know the challenge that they bring. And them being 0-2 right now brings an even bigger challenge. Now they're even more hungry to get that win, and we're trying to stop them from getting that. So it's going to be a great game. It's never we're supposed to win, so we can just trot it out there and win. You got to come prepared every week, like you said, and it's not going to be easy, but we're ready for the challenge.
I'm talking to Michael Pruitt, tight end for the Tennessee Titans, going into that big Titans-Colts game on Sunday. And Michael, put me down as one of the guys that was really glad to see you come back. I was always thinking they should have had you to begin with, but we won't even go there. But how easy was it for you to jump back in and get into your role? You've played a really good, solid, specific role for this team. But as we know, the coordinator changed. Even though Coach Downing has been there, he's been your position coach. So was it easy to jump back in and find your groove?
Yeah, I think it was. Me and Todd have had a lot of conversations over the past 2 years, him being my position coach, obviously, and we talked about some of the things that you know, he would see for an offense if he was able to take over. And most of those things stayed consistent when I came back. And I'm just looking to expand on what we've already started and just continue to get better throughout the year.
I thought it was a really important concept of the game. You guys are behind in the second quarter and on into the second half. But if anything, you guys went with more two tight end, three tight end sets and were determined to not abandon the running game. That had to feel good, confidence in you and Swaim and Hudson in there, because that's where I thought a lot of the action started happening positively for you guys.
Yeah. We love getting in those two, three tight end sets. And like I said, when you know you got Derek back there, it makes you want to do your job even better and just give him a little slight opening, and he can take advantage of it. And this team is built on a run. We're never going to abandon the run. Like, we believe in it so much that we think that it can carry us to where we want to be. So that's the game plan that we go with. Everybody knows it. We know it. And it's just line up and get your job done.
You're right. Like, every team comes in knowing the first thing on the list is, okay, how do we deal with Derrick Henry? But do you think it still surprises teams when it's 24-9 or, 30-16? The teams are saying, they're still coming out here in 12 personnel, 13 personnel. What are they doing? Like, it's got to be something that's a little different for some of these teams.
I don't know if it surprises teams because, like I said, that's always going to be our game plan. But I think it just wears on them. Like, the longer you can pound on these guys and hit them in the mouth every play with Derek running straight downhill or around the edge, it wears on guys. And guys got to make decisions closer to the end of the game, where they want to be hurting the next day or they want to lay off a little bit and let them get to going. So it's tough on those guys, I'm sure. But like I said, that's the way we're going to go.
Michael Pruitt is with us, Titans tight end, as the Titans will take on the Colts this Sunday. So joining this tight end room, I mean, obviously guys that you know, how have you seen Anthony grow in his role now that Jonnu has moved on? What have you seen out of him? Because you guys have been together for a while.
Yeah. He's gotten better every year, just like all of us. He's a guy that can take advantage of matchups out there and get open in space. And we rely on him to do that. And everybody has their role and that they got to fulfill, and he fulfills his just as well as everybody else.
And what is it? What have you seen with this offense of having AJ on one side, Julio on the other? We already mentioned the big monster truck in the backfield and Derrick Henry, but it's maybe one change, one new member of that offense. But Julio Jones changes a lot of how teams may look at this offense.
Mm-hmm. Man, it was great to get him over here. We're going to rely on him a lot to contribute as well, and just having another weapon on the offense can never hurt. And the more we get going, the more we look to expand on that.
They're honoring the Oilers this week with Bum Phillips going in the Ring of Honor. I know a lot has been made about, hey, it would be awesome if you guys could wear the old uniforms, but is that something that even gets brought up at all in the locker room of, like, what's your – you know, if we're going to honor the Oilers, let's wear the old unis, or is that just not even come up?
We talked about it a little bit. We know those throwbacks can look pretty cool out there on the field, and it would be pretty cool, but, you know, that's the NFL's rules. We can't control that.
Well, Michael, best of luck on Sunday against the Colts. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and we'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Michael Pruitt, Titans tight end, joining us here on the show. And I'm with Willie. I'm glad they got him back too. That was one that I was hoping they would figure out a way to re-sign him, and it all worked out. So he has been a good member to have on the Titans roster. We'll come back, talk more about this game and much more as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.